We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading the first 21 verses. Verses 15 to 21 will be the text that we'll be looking at specifically this morning. Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. This is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word that is eternal and true. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, it is our purest delight to read your word. Give us now, Lord, the grace to understand it as we are at the beginning of a new year as we count our calendars. Lord, we pray that you would help us to fix our hearts and our minds upon you, that we might grow in the knowledge and wisdom of Christ, to walk in a way as children of light are to walk. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, what is your identity? Who are you? Where are you from? Where are you going? As we enter into a new year, these are good questions to ask. Well, who am I actually? Where am I from? And where am I going? What's the direction of my life? The Bible tells us the answers to these questions in verses 6 to 9 of Ephesians 5. Listen to this. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, at one time your identity was darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. As we enter a new year, let us remember, brothers and sisters, our new identity in Christ. We are children of light, whose fruit is found in all that is good and right and true. The Bible tells us that we have received a new identity. We have become children of light. We were in darkness, but now we're in the light of God. And the light of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, has entered into our heart that we now want to produce that which glorifies God. So Paul says, let us walk as children of light. Do you walk as a child of light? Are you aware of that identity, brothers and sisters? That you are a child of light? You're no longer a child of darkness. You're not like the world. Not because you have somehow educated yourself above and beyond the world, but Christ has moved you out of the world of darkness and placed you in to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. You are light in the world, salt in the world. Paul defines this as all that is good and right and true. In other words, through the gospel, through regeneration, you have received a new heart, a new desire, which produces good, right, and true. You have a new inclination that you want to do what is right before God and good towards men. Therefore, Paul says, as you have received the new nature, walk in that new nature. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means that you can have a new nature, but not fully walk in it. Right? Some of you might read this and say, well, I'm not walking always in this. Or I'm barely walking in any of this. Well, why does Paul write in Ephesians 5, now walk as children of light? If everybody automatically walked as children of light, he didn't have to write it. And so he writes, you are children of light, now walk as children of light. The slavery of darkness and sin has ended. Therefore, no longer walk in the slavery of darkness and sin, but walk in the righteousness of Christ. You are new. And so Paul tells us, since we are truly children of light, we should walk as children of light in the midst of a dark world. We should follow the impulses of the new nature of the Holy Spirit. We should follow the leading of God's Spirit, who is so wonderfully placed within our hearts. Now here's the difficulty. Most people walk in the opposite direction. And so you're confronted with most people that you meet in everyday life that walk in a different direction. And as we are a people of that like to walk together and go in groups and go in a certain direction, the Apostle Paul writes us to remind us by saying, you're no longer with them. You're not walking in that same direction of selfishness, self-seeking, living for this world, living for your own pleasures. You have a new nature. Now walk as children of light. Well, what does that look like? Well, Paul teaches us this in the next few verses in a couple of directions, and we're going to look at that, what it means to walk as children of light, in verses 15 to 21. And I think what you will see is that this is a wonderful way to begin the year by thinking this should be the direction of my life. This is not just for the super religious or the super holy. This is for every Christian to walk a life, as we will see, of careful thought of where you're going, what you're saying, but also a life of giving praises to God, singing to God in your heart, speaking to one another in hymns and spiritual songs, and to give thanks to God all the days of your life. I hope that this sermon this morning, as it has been working in my own heart in the past week, would give you a new desire, a new hope, an encouragement to leave the old things behind and to walk in the ways of Christ, unrestricted, unbound, unfettered. We'll begin with the first point, a Christian's careful walk. Look at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. As Christians, we are a people who should walk carefully. That is the opposite for most people in the world, right? Most people in the world walk recklessly, run in just any direction and see if it sticks. See, if I do this, maybe it will work out for me. Maybe I'm going to be happy if I do this. I'm going to run it this direction. And now you have it even more with all the social media and all these like little videos that come one after another. It's one point of information to another point of information. You don't have time to think of it. You don't have time to process it. Your mind is being trained to make quick, haphazard decisions. Paul says, stop. Look carefully how you walk. Not carelessly strolling about, not mindlessly pressing on with life, but carefully walking so that we don't fall. That's different, isn't it? That will separate you from the rest of the world. The world is not carefully looking how it walks. It is running, hopefully, that they can find happiness somewhere. Paul says, you have happiness in the Lord. Now walk carefully because there are countless pitfalls for you to fall in. Look what you are about to say. Look what you are about to do. Look where you are about to go. If you reach with your hand in your pocket and you pull out your phone, think about what you're about to do. If you go to a friend's house, think about what you're going to say and not say. If you're about to go into traffic and you're going to drive, think about what you're about to do. So how do we walk carefully? Well, think about physical walking. What's the difference between a person who walks carelessly and who walks carefully? You can see it in children, right? They try to learn how to walk, but they don't really know how to walk, so they just get up and go for it. And as they go for it, they fall. Or think about a kid going on skates for the first time. They're going, Mom, Dad, look, I can do it, I can do it. And they go faster and faster, and they don't realize where the brakes are. And they run into the grass. They're not thinking. They're not thinking a step ahead. Now, some of you here this morning know very well how it is to walk carefully. If you're a little bit older, somebody is smiling at me because somebody walks on one leg this morning. But if you're older, you've got to think carefully how you walk because you know you can fall at any time. So you got to know where you plant your feet. You're going to be aware of the path that lies before you. You can look for bumps. You can look for obstacles. In other words, it takes careful effort to see where you plant your feet next. The careful person looks where he is going, and he makes sure that he plants his feet on solid ground. Are we living our spiritual lives that way? Or is 24 just kind of like a wave that followed by without much careful thought about our life, about how we speak, about the places we've been visiting, about the words that we've been saying? We should ask these types of questions if we want to live carefully and walk carefully. Are the places where I'm going good, God-honoring places? Are the relationships that I'm building good relationships, and am I building them in a godly way? Are the things which I do and think godly things? If I look at my life and I wake up in the morning and I start my day with the Word of God, what goes into my mind the rest of the day, or what I'm pondering on, does it give me more joy as the day progresses? Or am I going to be filled with bitterness or anxiety that by the end of the day I've lost all the joy of reading Scripture in the morning? And my reading at night is just putting bandages on a disturbed heart. Am I loving my neighbors carefully in a godly way? Am I loving my family in a God-honoring way? Think how many mistakes would have been avoided. How many sins would have been avoided if we'd sat down before we did something. As a pastor, I have the privilege of seeing a lot of people's lives. And I think one of the main challenges when people get into an addiction or into a difficulty or a challenge is they just run into it without thinking. They haven't set up their lives in carefully thinking what's next. There's no planning going on. We just run from one thing into the next. We work really hard, and then we think we can relax, and then we relax in a way that we don't think about what relaxing actually is. And so we're going to relax in the way that the world relaxes, and before we know it, we're deep into sin. But a Christian is a man or a woman who walks carefully, thinking about what you're going to do next, like a strategist, like a general in an army. And your body is the army that needs to safely reach to the other side. You got to plan your life, how you're going to think and speak and act. Carefully considering your words. Carefully considering your actions, your week, your year, the next moment. We are to walk in the law of love, the law of Christ, carefully. Look at Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. If you're thinking, we're already in the new year, but you're still trying to figure out a way of what to do this year, maybe Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 would be helpful. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So in other words, if you put both of these things together, we're not just simply thinking about what we're going to do and then try to figure out what's the best solution, how we're going to live. But the Bible actually tells us when we think about the next step, what that step needs to look like. I'm about to go into a conversation. Not just I'm going to have a good conversation. How can I imitate God and imitate Christ in this conversation? How can I imitate God in 2025? How can I imitate the love of God and the love of Christ in 2025? Towards my children, or grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or my parents, or my siblings, or my brothers and sisters in church. Sunday morning, I'm on my way to church. Lord, this morning can be a morning of eternal spiritual benefits if I walk by the Spirit, or it could become sin if I walk according to the flesh. Help me to love like you love, to imitate your love as I walk among my brothers and my sisters. Brings us to the second direction, the Christian's wise walk. Verses 15 to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is a very famous passage, isn't it? Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I think we've all heard of this passage, but I wonder if we've all pondered what it really means. Some of us, if you are an efficiency guru, you might think, well, make the best use of the time, because you've got to make it very efficient. You've got to do as much as possible in that day. I don't think that's what Paul is concerned about, even though it can be good. I think the best use of time is defined by the next verse, because it starts with therefore. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The days are evil in which we live. That's the idea. That's the big world picture, if you will. We live in an evil time, an evil era. There's darkness on every side. Therefore, we must make the best use of the time. Well, how do we do that in an evil world? By not being foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What does God want you to do? That's the best use of your time. It's not about doing 100 things at the same time, but about doing what God wants you to do that day. This passage is not about efficiency, but about faithfulness. It's about following God faithfully.
but doing it for the glory of God, because the days in which we live are evil. Paul says, you are a child of God in the midst of a dark world. Therefore, don't waste your time in darkness. If you are a child of light, a Christian, you should purchase your time for God. So you should spend your life serving God. For the rest is a total waste.
You know what would be the worst thing they could write on my tombstone if I die before the Lord returns? This man wasted his life. That would be the worst. Just spend it for no good reason. Didn't do anything that had of any lasting value. Paul says, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life by doing things that the world does. You are a child of light. You're out of that darkness. So now do something useful. Bring a cup of water to a brother or sister. Pray for your brother that is hurting or your sister that is struggling. Encourage one another. That's a good use of time. Encourage one another in the Lord. Don't waste it on sin, foolishness, and darkness. Then he continues on with the same theme of wastefulness. The Christian sober walk, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Now, we don't use that word debauchery, at least I don't very often. But the word debauchery here refers to wasting something. That's the theme. Wasting your life. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is wasting your time and wasting God's time. In other words, drinking wine to the point of you're getting drunk makes you unable to function, and besides it giving you wicked thoughts and loosening your constraints on sin, it wastes God's time. Paul places getting drunk with wine in opposition with being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit makes you use your time well, but wasting your time happens when you're drunk. You will act sinfully. You will become loose-lipped. Your mind will think fleshly things, and you will not wrestle against the evil desires of the flesh. All of this belongs to wastefulness. A long time ago, it feels like a long time ago, before I knew the Lord, I worked at wedding centers, and I was a bartender. And you see the wastefulness of drunkenness every day or every wedding that we did. And you see people that probably normally have a right-thinking mind wasting their honor, wasting their time, wasting other people's time by drunkenness. As a matter of fact, towards the end of the Bible, it says that no drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are living in drunkenness will not make it into heaven. Here, Paul is not going to that point. Here he says, it's a waste of time. And he wants to press down the heaviness of wasting God's time. Some of you here are business owners. Isn't it the worst thing if you have somebody on your payroll that wastes time? You ask him to do something, you say, sure, I'm going to do it. And you turn around, and as soon as you turn around, you look back, they're doing something else. They're wasting time.
The Apostle Paul tells believers, stay away from drunkenness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, for you will never walk by the Spirit when you are drunk with wine. You will never be filled with the power of God if you are under the control of anything else, whether it be wine, beer, drugs, lust, or pride. You cannot be controlled by the flesh and be filled by the Spirit. And drunkenness causes you to be controlled by the flesh. So let me expand this beyond drinking wine.
Is there anything controlling you that is not the Holy Spirit? Are you drunk with wine? Are you drunk with social media? Are you drunk with TV that leads to anxiety and carelessness? Are you drunk with drugs? Or are you drunk with anything else that causes you to think sinfully? Don't waste your life like a child of darkness. You are a child of light. You've been called to greater things. Place yourself in your mind, your identity, because this is true. As a child who is already hidden with Christ in God, you're already, in one sense, in heaven. You have a heavenly citizenship. You are spiritually alive. You are living before the throne of God. Can you picture you living before the throne of God in drunkenness? Or you twiddling your phone and wasting hours before the throne of God? Or just watching TV all day long like a potato bag slouched on the couch looking for no reason? Wasting your life away? Don't waste your life.
So then,
how are we to spend our lives?
Verses 18 and 19 together, listen to this.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart.
In other words, Paul is saying, instead of being controlled by earthly things, such as wine, lust, drugs, or anything else, be filled with the Spirit of God.
Surround yourself, fill yourself with God.
I want you to see something very important here. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's a commandment. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Don't be filled
with drunkenness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He isn't saying, let God fill you with the Holy Spirit, or ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He makes it even more blunt, and he says, the responsibility is to you.
You must be filled with the Holy Spirit.
You are responsible for being filled with the Holy Spirit.
You see that? He's not saying ask to be filled with the Spirit. He says be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a responsibility in being filled with the Holy Spirit.
How is that possible?
How can you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit?
I think what it's saying is this. The Spirit,
if you are a true believer, is already dwelling within you. You already have the Holy Spirit. But when you grieve the Holy Spirit, He will not fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what limits the filling of the Holy Spirit within you is not God. It is your unwillingness by wasting your life and not walking in the ways of God.
You might not be filled with the Spirit because you fill yourself with other things.
The Holy Spirit is ready to fill you, but you fill yourself with wine and walk according to the flesh and grieve the Spirit. So Paul says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of drinking wine, drink the glory of the gospel of Christ. Fill yourself with God.
Since you are a child of light, a child of God, you must leave those things behind that the world chases after and follow after God.
Oh, I wish that all of us this morning would have this realization. I am a child of the living God. I am walking as a light in the midst of a dark world. Do you fathom what is being said here? You are a light of God in a dark world.
So walk as a child of the light. Be done with all the rubbish that diminishes the power of God in your life. It's not just saying, is this acceptable? Is there a law written against this? That's not where we should draw the line. The line where we should draw the line is this. Is this filling me more with the Holy Spirit or less? Does this help me to grow in God, or does this hinder my growth in God? You see that? That's different, isn't it? I think for so many years we've been living with this idea, well, as long as it doesn't hurt, it's okay. No, no, no. As long as it doesn't help me grow, it's not okay. I must fill my life in ways that causes me to grow in grace, in the knowledge of Christ. Instead of looking and filling yourself with drunkenness, you drink the Word of God. Instead of looking on the internet, you look to heaven. Instead of listening to this world of darkness, you listen to God. Instead of speaking of fleshly things, you speak to God and to your brothers and sisters about God. Whenever we come to church, we must be filling with the Spirit because of our fellowship together. We must be more filled with the Spirit when we walk out than when we come in. And here is how, verses 19 to 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. This is a singing to each other. Do you see that? In other words, what Paul is saying is, you have to be encouraging one another when you get together. Encourage one another in the gospel. Use spiritual songs and hymns and psalms to encourage one another in the Lord so that both of you are filling up with the Spirit and the power of God. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is how you are to spend your time, brothers and sisters. This is possible, isn't it? There's nothing that's not humanly possible here. It's very possible. But perhaps we have lowered our standards to just getting together and talking about lower things that are not necessarily sinful, but not building one another up in the most holy faith. Do we have to speak about everything we speak about? And should we not do this where God's Word commands us to do it? Let me ask you this. When you meet with one another and you sit with one another for 2 hours and you talk about everything else but not about God and you go home, how do you feel? Maybe comforted. Maybe you feel a little understood. But how about when you speak about the things of God to each other? You share some struggles that you have or some things you see from the Word of God that you're learning. Or you ask some questions or you express some amazement of the Word of God. And after 2 hours of spiritual conversation, how do you go home? Filled with the Spirit, isn't it? Filled with the Spirit. Why is that? Because instead of grieving the Holy Spirit, you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul writes to the early church, this is how you are to live. When your conversation comes together, speak of the things of God so that you are being filled with the Spirit. Don't let the flesh ruin your life. Be done with it. This world is tracing after darkness, and you can see that it leads nowhere. It leads to death, depression, and destruction. Don't drink from that cistern. Why put your face in that bucket? Instead, we have a better way.
God's way.
Which brings us to our last direction.
We read this already, but verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, beloved, this direction is so underappreciated, but so crucial to a spirit-filled life. Being thankful to God always. Without this, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without this, you cannot have the Spirit of God in power in your life. With this, you will be filled with the Spirit of God, being thankful to God for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful to God for everything? You mean everything good? Everything. For His power is perfected in our weakness. To be thankful to God in everything is to be filled with the power of God. When you do so, you will live in continuous relationship with God because all day long you're thanking God. You live in a continuous conveyor belt of thankfulness to God. You constantly, God, thank you that I can wake up in a bed. God, thank you that I have people around me. God, thank you that I have the Word. Thank you that I have prayer. Or thank you for the food that you provide for me. No, thank you that I could encourage one another here. Thank you that I can work. Thank you that you've given me hands and feet, a heart. A memory that when I learn something, I'll be able to remember some of it tomorrow. Thank you that you have loved me so much that I can still live today. Thank you, God, that you have shown your grace so much to me today that the sun has risen up over the horizon this morning. Oh, God, thank you that you pour waters on the earth so that the bread may grow and I may eat. Oh, God, thank you for my brothers and sisters in church that all the things that I lack, they can supply through the spiritual gifts through them to me. Oh God, thank you for the brothers that provide comfort when I'm down. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that provide correction when I'm about to go astray. Thankful God. Then when you meet one another, you say, brother, I'm thankful for you that God has given you in my life. Sister, I'm thankful for you that God has given you in my life. And they say, well, I'm thankful to God that you're in my life. And instead of this world where we just go up once a week, go to church on Sunday, and then the rest of the week we're just going about our business, and then that's kind of, we hop 7 days in our Christian life. We are living with God day after day, giving praise and thanks to God. Some of us are very good at this. Some of us, like me included, have a lot of need to grow in this area. To be thankful to God would destroy bitterness in the church and jealousy and envy. Because if you're a thankful person, you're thankful for the little that you have and you rejoice in that which God has given to your brother. It takes jealousy away. It takes envy out. I wonder if one of our resolutions this year and every year to follow should be thankfulness. Thankfulness. I wish that would be on my tombstone one day. Here lies one who was thankful to God for everything. So, brothers and sisters, as we walk with the Lord, day by day, let us walk carefully. Let us walk with
not with carelessness, but carefully. Let us walk wisely. Let us walk soberly. Let us walk by the Spirit and in thankfulness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this day. Lord, I'm so incredibly thankful for you and the great gifts that you've given every brother and sister to me here this morning. Those who are not able to come this morning, I'm so grateful for my brothers and sisters and the gifts that you've given them. Lord, I am grateful. We are grateful for your gospel and your love towards us. Help us, Lord, to be more grateful. Help us to be filled with the Spirit, not to follow the impulses of the flesh that only leads to further darkness. Help us, Lord, to walk by the Spirit, by faith. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.